You're listening to Waveform, a show about music, discovery, and the technology that ties it all together in new and powerful ways. This program is brought to you by Wavelake, the easiest way to distribute and stream music using Bitcoin. Listen today at wavelake.com.
Oh man, I hope those drums... Starting a band? That, none of this stuff is going to come through. Music never comes through. These microphones...
That came through.
Oh, did it?
That came through. If I had faith in...
Well, now like, I wish I played something cooler.
If there were less latency, I'd say we could try and jam together, but
I just blew my big shot to play something really impressive to dozens of people.
Dozens.
There are dozens.
You'll get another shot.
I hope so.
We can do a showcase. Do you listen to WTF with Marc Maron at all?
Not currently. I mean, I'm off and on with that dude, and I have been for like 15 years or something.
Years. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like
does cool music interludes that he just plays himself. That's just what reminded me or made me think of it.
Yeah. Yeah. He likes to showcase himself and talk about himself.
He likes to jam. Yeah. That's his brand.
Yeah. I get sick of that every once in a while. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Like I'll just get sick of that. And then he'll have somebody on that I think is interesting. And so I'll listen. And I was like, all right, I kind of like this guy again. So then I'll listen to some more. And then eventually, you know, three or four in, I get sick of it again. But I'm still a subscriber. Yeah. I still subscribe. I just delete. I swipe and, you know, delete.
Yeah.
If it's not one. That's my
relationship with every podcast.
Yeah, that's my relationship with this show too. It's like sometimes I'm just like, yeah, I don't want to do it. Like last week, like the last time.
Like the fact that we skipped last week.
Yeah, no one noticed. It's all right.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think anyone noticed.
Well, we're back.
We're back and we got not a lot to talk about. It's kind of slow.
Yeah.
We're still working on mobile stuff and it's kind of like dragging a bit.
We're in a middle zone.
Yeah.
Like post new things, post releasing things and then pre releasing new things.
Yeah.
But
we did
promos
release,
are out. Yeah.
We did release that. I got some feedback on, I'd like to hear some feedback in the comments here, but I got some feedback on the name Top Up last night.
Oh yeah.
I was walking through the kind of the whole thing with my friend after playing racquetball. So I'm a big racquetball guy.
And, so bougie.
I know. It's so bougie. You can barely even find anywhere to play anymore.
You should convert to pickleball. That's like
I refuse. I'm like a pickleball hater. I refuse because I'm such a strong supporter of racquetball, and the pickleball people have like infiltrated everything. I refuse to ever play pickleball. But anyway, this friend of mine, who you know I value his opinion quite a bit, he said, "Listen, I love you, but this Top Up, I don't like the name."
Doesn't like the name.
He said it just doesn't make any sense.
Fair.
I'm like, well, you know, like top up your wallet. And he's like, what does it have? He's like, I thought it had to do with like water. And I'm like, why? He's like, I don't know. Wavelake. And I was like, okay, well then like, I don't know, top up your drink. Sure. I don't know. Like, and he's like, no, it's not working. But I mean, the point is we're sort of just as I'm rebellious against pickleball. We're kind of rebellious against certain terms that have been thrown around a lot because we don't want to get sucked into, we're trying to like break out of a bubble. And so I think that was part of the thinking there. Like, let's not call it listen to earn or these or, it, or anything earn really, even though that's what it is ultimately. But
yeah,
I think that's why we landed on Top Up, which may be a little too obscure. I don't know. We might have to think about that, but I am curious because I have now ran a few people through the process of signing up just to see if they would instinctually know to go to Top Up to now that we have a wallet in the app. Well, we sort of do. So
yeah.
Was I supposed to say that? It's there. Whatever.
We do.
We do, but yeah. We haven't really advertised it yet. But so far, nobody has clicked on that.
That seems like the telltale.
Yeah.
That would be the telltale if you go to the app, sign up, and you just totally skip over the top up banner.
Yeah.
And you just think it's like, you know, a cool design, but it's nothing that pertains to you.
Yeah. And it's not even a cool design, unfortunately. But, and then, I mean, we do say, like, if you do end up there, it does say, have a little paragraph at the top that does describe it. But my friend also said, nobody reads. And I think I actually know he's right. I know that nobody reads. So,
yeah, I think like we have a, I think sometimes we like to overcomplicate things.
Yeah.
Because we like to be like anti.
We're counterculture.
Whatever. Yeah. Or we're just trying to like come up with something original just to like make it more interesting, either like visually or through language. Yeah, and so we're not like just going over the same old.
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to brand things a lot. Like we're trying to just be like, how can we just like?
Make and sometimes this that can catchy. Work against us. Sometimes that can like we can overthink it and then put something out that like makes no sense to anyone,
right?
Because so we've workshopped it internally and we're like, oh yeah, this makes sense. Like top up makes perfect.
I mean,
sense.
To be fair, we only workshopped that for about a minute and a half.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying in terms of our the MO for coming up with names for new things. We're always like, well, let's try and not do the obvious when sometimes maybe the obvious.
Yeah, let's not do listen to earn because that's, you know, that would make way too much sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard because I mean, you know, they're really just advertisements. They're right. Like artist ads.
Yeah, which that seems
a new version of it. But we don't want to call it that. We don't
want to
call it
listener. Yeah, because
we don't
want it to feel
like promoted.
We don't want it to feel like ads. They are kind of ads, but also like while that is kind of the intention, a lot of the intention is to onboard people. So then we were like, well, maybe there's some.
We could call it just rewards or earn. Just keep it real simple.
I think at one point I wanted to call it onboard radio, and I think that was vetoed.
Too complicated.
Now, yeah.
All right. Well, I think I think we should. I don't know. I'm fine with top up, but if it's not working, then we should change.
Well, let's throw it out to our dozens of listeners. Listeners, what do you think? Top up? Yay? Nay? You got a better idea? It's got to be. Yeah. You know, it's got to be short and sweet. It's got to be catchy.
I like the idea of rewards because it's not like it's I think it's better than earning because it's like and it's clear that you will get paid or you'll get something in return if you go into that section. Whereas earn feels very like work related.
Right.
Whereas
and that's
rewards
the, and
is
that's
more
the hard
like
part. And somebody on Nostr when we posted that was like, oh, is this what music has come to now? You have to pay people to listen to it. And I mean, I hate to break it to that person, but it's actually been like that for forever.
For
yeah. It's called advertising.
Yes.
But this is actually a much cooler way to advertise because you can actually give people money instead of just, you know, pay the void for attention.
It's not just for that purpose.
Like yesterday I was talking to one of the artists on Wave Lake, trying to help him out with a technical thing. And he was like, hey, is there a way I could like reward people for listening to like one of my new songs? I'm uploading a new song today. And it's like, actually, yes, there is. We'll throw you on there. So,
yeah, I've talked to artists who, like here, who do like Facebook ads.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Music.
And there's like Spotify.
It's like
you can pay for Spotify. I mean, I get this stuff. I don't know if you get it, but oh, you're not really on social media. But like, you know, if you're on Instagram, I'll get advertisements for like pay $99 and get 100,000 Spotify plays, and it's all bots and whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's hard to say how effective those kinds of ads are. But this, like, the one person I was talking to, he was like, "Yeah, I started doing Facebook ads. I spent like a few grand over the course of a couple of years, and like, you know, my follower count went way up on Spotify. So like he thought it was worth it. But I mean, yeah, the fact of the matter is these like advertising your music is not anything new. I think the way that this advertising works is maybe more cleaner, maybe a little more,
it's more fun,
effective.
Yeah. And it's, and it truly is like when I was describing it to, it was Ollie I was talking to yesterday. When I was describing it to Ollie, as I was saying, like, yeah, you know, let's say you give somebody 20 sats, but if you've directed that fan to that page or to that track and they get those 20 sats, they're probably going to give them back to you, you know? So that's the really unique thing too, is you have the opportunity to actually get a return on your investment in the advertisement. Yeah. So,
and in the end, like, I think like marketing and advertising they have such negative connotations. People just, it's just a gross, it just has a gross connotation to it. But the fact of the matter is, like, if you're creating music and you're trying to get it in front of people and you're trying to build an audience, like, that's just one of those things you have to do order to build that audience.
Also,
you
people
need to advertise it somehow.
Well, great segue. I don't know if we planned this or not, but you just told me about a concert that you went to, and that's great case in point. Like, some people want to be advertised to, or else they don't know about stuff.
Yeah. Thank you for setting me up, Sam. What great talk show host etiquette.
That's what I do.
Yeah. So two of my like favorite artists of late, Kevin Morby and Hooray for the Riff Raff. I've actually seen them both a few times now. I've bought their records. They played a show in Chicago at the Salt Shed, like a great new venue that came up a couple of years ago. I had not heard, they were both on the same bill with two other acts, and I had no idea that the show was happening until I randomly saw a poster at the public library.
Wow.
As I was walking out from checking some books out. I was just, cause I always browse the like free magazines and flyers and that whole section when I leave the library. So I randomly saw this poster and I was like, oh my God, how did I not hear about this? And then, you know, I got to get some tickets. But like the insane thing to me is like, how did I not know? You know, I've I've been to their shows. I've bought their albums like online. I've done all this stuff. And still, like, if I hadn't seen that flyer, I would have never known the show even was happening. So that's the thing that's like a little baffling to me, is how is it that I didn't get an email or anything from either of these artists? And it's not their fault. I'm not blaming the artist, but there is something broken if like some of my favorite artists are playing a show like, you know, a few miles away and I have to hear about it accidentally.
I mean, I gotta say it's more baffling that you just, I mean, shout out to the kid who put the flyer in the public library, because that's a pretty unique experience. I mean, I can't even tell you the last time I found out about a show that some of my favorite bands are coming to town in a public library.
Yeah.
Flyer. I mean, that's an old school tradition.
I'm basically like an old senior citizen. That's how I like still operate in my daily life. And so I go to the library, I see a flyer, and then I go to the box office to buy a ticket. Maybe.
I love that.
No, I bought these tickets online, but like, yeah, thank God someone put a flyer up. I'm so thankful. The show was great, by the way. Oh, also, I thought of you several times during the show, because like almost like three of the four acts had sax players. There was much sax going on.
I thought you were going to say three of the four acts had mint green Jeff Beck Stratocasters.
Trying to think what guitars people had.
Man, I love
It sounded great. Like, it sounded great in a rock setting too. I feel like it's coming back. I don't know, but it's,
I hope it
you
is.
You don't hear a lot of sax live, but there was lots of saxophone. Anyway, I digress.
Speaking of flyers, I was driving somewhere yesterday and flipping through my Sirius satellite radio stations, and I stopped at a comedy channel, and it was the old Mitch Hedberg. Are you familiar with him at all?
I love Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah, okay, good. So you probably know the one where he's like, I can't even remotely begin to do it justice, but he's basically like, the thing about flyers is it's like somebody telling, what does he say? It's like somebody telling you, hey, you throw this away.
Exactly.
That's, yeah. I completely mangled that. I'm sorry, Mitch Hedberg, rest in peace.
I know the joke.
Yeah, yes. You know what I'm talking about.
It's close enough.
His jokes are so easy, yet not for me. So it shows how
his timing is
and how terrible mine.
That's the beauty of his jokes is they seem so simple, but they are written in a way that's like so specific and carefully constructed that if you like take out one word,
yeah,
it ruins the joke.
Absolutely. And he, in that particular set and many sets, had a little jazz quartet playing with him and had some sax. So
I think I've heard that one where they're playing like in between his jokes.
Yeah, they're kind of like little interludes and yeah.
Yeah, I know that. I know the set you're talking about.
He's the best.
Yeah, so I guess like the thing that's related, you know, this situation with not hearing about this show, I think is related in that like, you know, these aren't small artists. I'd say these are like medium to like smallish large artists.
Yeah.
Who have, you know, labels backing them, management, like marketing, all that. And yet like, it's just things are so disjointed that like, people like me can't really be connected well enough to what's going on.
I mean, even if you were on social media, you would still probably miss it, you know, because the,
yeah, well, that's chance too, right? Like,
yeah,
either the ad has to like somehow find me and, or I have to like be online to see the posts from them.
I mostly
in time.
I feel like I mostly hear about stuff from, I rely a lot on friends. Like I hear, like yesterday, or maybe this morning, it was announced that this band, the Hard Quartet, have you heard of them yet? It's a new Stephen Malcolmus. Are you a Pavement fan?
Yeah.
Stephen Malcolmus.
Not as big as you are, but yeah.
Yeah, him and a few other cool cats started a new band called the Hard Quartet, and they're going on tour next spring and early summer, and they're playing in Phoenix. But, you know, that was a good example of like a friend just knows I'm a Pavement fan, was like, hey, did you see that they're playing the Nile, which was a really weird venue for them to play too. But you know, I kind of rely on friends. And then if I do, just in the off chance that I do catch something, I always have to put it in my calendar, even if I'm just to remind myself that it's happening, because I'll forget, because tours are, that's the other element of this, is a lot of tours are booked way far out in advance now, which I know big shows used to be like that, but now since the pandemic and stuff, I feel like people have been booking things really far out.
Yeah.
Or extra far out.
I think my problem is I'm that friend. So I'm usually the one trying to drag people to shows or telling people about shows. But I mean, I think the conclusion to all this is, you know, if we can make like just better connections between artists and fans, like that, whatever, you know, we're trying to do. I mean, that's obviously one of the things we're trying to do, but like that, there isn't really a great solution out there for this problem right now, as far as I've experienced. I think there's some versions of it.
Yeah. But I mean, it's going to be hard, but I think it's more about like, it's more about just like sort of creating a new, I guess just a new habit, you know, it's like, it's always going to be hard. Even if, let's just say, even if you have like the most direct connection to somebody, which you could argue social media is that, it is kind of a one-to-one connection if you follow somebody, although you do have to mess with, you know, you have, there's algorithms at play. So I may follow Hooray for the Riff Raff, but if I don't happen to be fed that day that that's announced, I might miss it. And
yeah,
because I didn't interact with it when it came out, then I never see it, you know, unless I am very intentional about going through to see it. But I think, you know, I think like if we and other people can just build better connections to artists, then people will get more used to interacting with them and they'll actually go to them to look for things, you know, more frequently. Whereas now they, I think now we've gotten really lazy. So people just rely that the information will be fed to them. Whereas like when I was a kid, I would actively pursue things, you know, I would go look at bands' websites that I liked to see if there was news and see if there was a tour coming up or something, and I would go to the public library and look at the flyer wall to see what was happening. And I think it's just a social media, as great as it's been, it, you know, obviously has a lot of faults too, and I think that's one of them, is just people have just gotten sort of like lazy with actively pursuing information just because they know it's going to get fed to them. And then, but now it's like not getting fed to them in the way that they want that to happen. So we're just going to have to start, I think, developing new habits if we want to be interacting with things we love again.
Yeah. I think the thing that I really dislike about social media in general is like the volume of stuff you're being fed. That's my biggest problem. That's one of my biggest problems with it, is that, you know, that it creates a habit forming behavior, and also just like the amount of stuff being kind of put in your face is just, for me, it's overwhelming, which is why I try to limit how much I use it. And how much I expose my brain to it. Like I said, I like to move through the world like I'm 70 years old.
I got a
try
cool,
and see what's out there.
I got a cool shirt the other day. I'll try to get you one too. It's from just a dude that follows me on social media, actually. he's a fan of my old band or something, but he just randomly sent me a shirt in a tote bag, and they say, "What's more punk rock than a public library?" It's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. I have a couple friends that work at public libraries as librarians, mm-hmm. and they are the happiest people I know.
My wife always wanted to be a librarian. It's like her. She'll be one someday.
There's something about that job. I think like, I don't know what it is. I can only guess, but I can attest that librarians seem to be really happy about what they do. I love libraries, by the way. I go all the time.
I was just thinking about, I don't know, maybe it was something we were talking about. Maybe it was even on this show, but I was just remembering after the fact, after some conversation I had, I don't remember, past yesterday. But man, the library used to be so cool for finding, like when I was in like 10, you know, 9 or 10, and really super hyper into the early stages of my Beatles fandom. I had all the Beatles cassette tapes, but I didn't have the solo stuff. And so I would go to the library and you could check out CDs, and they had most of the solo stuff. So I discovered like Paul McCartney, Ram, and All Things Must Pass, and Imagine. And I don't think I discovered any good Ringo records at the library, but my three
are there
favorite
good Ringo records. I don't know.
Yeah, Buku Blues. I just don't think they had any Ringo stuff, unfortunately. I think that was why. Yeah. But I mean, I have very vivid memories of the first time I ever heard those albums was because of a public library, and that's pretty cool. And you can still do that today. I mean, I think now they have.
Yeah.
You're probably way more familiar with it than I am, but there's like a service, almost like a Netflix for libraries, where they have this digital content now that you can access.
Yes.
If you have a library card, but I don't know what it's called, but I thought,
yeah,
that was
pretty
cool.
The one that are you, we have an app called Libby,
yeah,
which I think connects with a bunch of different
public, yeah, I think
libraries.
That's the one, yeah, I saw too.
you can reserve, you can get like audiobooks, you can get like Kindle style books, all that through the app. It's great. Yeah. I'd go for like everything, movies, books, music, you know.
Oh yeah, it's so great. I still have so many great random crafts from that too. When my sister, we don't have stuff to talk about, so now I'm just talking about old stories. This is how we kill time, folks.
Tell us, Grandpa.
When I was like 16, I went to visit my sister in Iowa, and my brother-in-law was a professor, so they lived really close to the campus, and so I would go to the campus library every day. She let me borrow her car, and she had to work. And so I would borrow her car. I'd drive down to the library. I'd get a bunch of whatever, like cool movies I could find. And yeah, like the David Byrne, what's that David Byrne movie? Is it True Stories or something? And I don't remember. I just,
David Byrne, the From Talking Heads.
From Talking Heads. Yeah. Like that movie is super vivid in my memory, although I can't really remember the name. I feel like that's what it's called. But yeah, it was so good for just discovering. Man, I just miss like music and film discovery. That's why I really like the Criterion Channel app, because we'll just, you know, instead of just endlessly scouring through Netflix or something, we'll just go to Criterion and just play it.
Yeah.
Just turn something on, watch some totally batshit movie from, you know, whenever. But they're always great, you know, because it's because you trust them. It's like good curation. It's cool. They're interesting movies. They're obscure or just well made or just whatever.
Do you have a channel? It's an over the air channel called Movies by you.
No,
I'm pretty sure they're a national network.
I mean, we might, but I don't have like a.
You don't have an antenna.
I don't have an antenna. We used to.
Yeah. See, this is more of my.
Well, I'm not 70. Yeah.
Way of doing things. So I still have an antenna and I still watch regular over the air TV sometimes. But my favorite channel is this channel called, it's just called Movies! ! And that's sort of my version of what you're talking about. It's just like, I'll just turn it on at night usually. And it's always some movie I've never heard of. Usually in black and white. They're super old. But it'll usually have like someone familiar, like someone famous from the past, like, you know, Vincent Price or like Katherine Hepburn or someone like that. So you like recognize
Jimmy Stewart.
Exactly. So you recognize, it's like, oh, I know that person, but I've never heard of this movie before. And they'll play like pretty good movies that are sort of like not, you know, in the normal catalog for these actors. And then, but they'll also play like really weird, like culty movies. Like I just saw one or part of one called Them or They. It's like a movie about killer ants. Like,
oh, I've seen that.
Giant killer ants that like grow out of a radioactive like nuclear testing site, and they come and like attack a city or a small town. But yeah, I love that kind of stuff. I love just,
I feel like
just seeing like, oh, this is, I would have never sought this out, but it's great.
I kind of feel like I've seen that, like that I saw that on like a Mystery Science Theater thing.
It sounds like something they would do for sure. Or
maybe Riff Tracks.
I think that's what they turned into, right? That was their thing. Same guys.
Yeah, I think some of the same guys. Okay, so I'm gonna play a song. I'm going to play Honey by Martin Grooms. I've gotten to kind of know Martin a bit. Like we talk a little
on
socials and stuff, nerd out on things. We were just nerding out on John Bryan the other day. You know how much I love that guy, but he got me excited because he's going to try to cover a John Bryan song. Cause
oh, sweet.
I was talking about John Bryan and then I guess another friend of his was too. So he posted it's kind of out in the universe. It's meant to be. I'm shooting for this John Bryan cover again, but this is a new track called Honey that he did not too long ago, just put up, and but we haven't played it yet and it's really cool, so I just want to do it up. Here we go. Honey, Martin Grooms.
Thank you. your touch, I'm too weak to heal these wounds. It's so deep that I can feel it in my bones. And I need to learn to let you be to keep my mind at ease. So please leave me alone, yeah. Never rest for the shackles on. Sideways and backwards, I'm still hungover from the ups and downs. Yeah, I need to learn to let you be, to keep my mind.
Us out.
And that was Honey by Martin Grooms, baby, on W A V L A K E. Yeah.
I think you're West Coast, so you have to start with a K.
Oh, yeah, K. Yeah, that's right. K K W K WAV.
That's some really K-wave. Obscure, oh, K-wave obscure radio that, fact.
Yeah, that would be good. K WAV. That's a good, those are some
K WAV.
Yeah. K W A V. K WAV Radio. This is,
you're listening to KWAV, home.
Black Hole Sun by Soundgarden. yeah, I love, cool. Man, 90s very radio cool. Was cool. Roya, do you follow Roya? I know you just said you're not a big social media guy, but on Noster, I'm sure you've come across Roya at some point.
Yes, I've come across her.
I'm trying to find it in my apps because it's a new feature called application recommendation that we're going to be rolling out right now. She posted a mobile app to her local rock radio station. It's KSHE 95. And it had such a cool logo. No one's going to be able to see it except for you, but it's like a pig. It's a pig
with earrings
and sunglasses and like headphones and stuff. And
that's, I was like, great.
That logo's so cool. I have to download this to see what it's all about. And then I realized it's just like an old school 90s rock radio station that's still just totally alive and kicking. So
it's independent. It's not like part of a giant conglomerate.
So it's KSHE 95.
That's cool.
Go download that app. Right now they're playing some ZZ Top. So
yeah,
I'm not going to play it. But they are.
That's cool. College radio is still pretty vibrant, I think.
Oh yeah.
Like that's like the place to hear new stuff and, you know, listen to DJs that like care about what they're playing. Not that like mainstream radio DJs don't care, but well, I don't think they have as much control over what they can play.
They have almost none. They have, I was talking to, I have a friend that works at a, you know, corporate rock station, and she has like a show where she's allowed to play local stuff and that's it. Like yeah. That's the only, and then there's another guy there, I think, that gets to play, he has like a, you know, ska punk show or something. So he gets to play pop punk and, you know, Skank and Pickle or whatever. But outside of that, no dice. It's all controlled. Yeah. It's all fed in. And even like the, yeah, it's just all automated. It's very weird.
It is weird.
College
radio. It's great. Do you listen to terrestrial radio at all?
Occasionally. My wife really loves to turn on like just regular old terrestrial radio. Like if we're in the car.
Yeah.
It kind of drives me crazy because it just ends up being almost always ends up being like some pop station where they're just playing, you know, like Demi Lovato. No offense to Demi Lovato or anything, but it's just the same songs, you know, like all those.
Yeah.
And some of them are great. Like everybody knows I like a lot of pop music, but
yeah,
all the dozens of listeners have heard me talk about pop music before. But, you know, after a while you're just kind of like, I don't want to hear this anymore.
Yeah.
I used to really love it. I mean, cause I had, you know, old cars that didn't have CD players. So I listened to a lot of radio. That's when I listened to a lot of KSLX. That was the classic rock station when I was growing up. And then, I was trying to think of the rock station, like the K Rock equivalent was the Edge. But I don't remember the call letters, but that's because they always just called it the Edge.
Yeah.
You know, 106.3, the Edge.
The big one here that I grew up listening to was Q101. That was the alt rock station.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with it because Chicago is such a great market. So, like,
yeah,
very familiar with Q101 and K Rock. And, oh man, now the New York one is, I know the New York one too, but now I don't remember it. I'm choking. Yeah, but
that's okay. Yeah.
I was listening to Cherub Rock yesterday. On my way home.
Oh, yeah.
Driving home, and I was thinking about
that's it.
I know that's like one of your...
That's a seminal track for me.
Yeah, it's one of your favorite bands, and I was just like, it's so funny. Yeah. This stuff is so... I just very intentionally listen to production because I'm a production nerd, and it's just like, this is such a funny album, kind of, if you think about it, because it's like, these drums are so good. They're so panned. They're so reverby. Then the guitars are so... shitty sounding but like clean still, you know. I don't know, it's like such an interesting contrast of music, and then his voice.
Are a weird band. Like
they really are.
That's something that I've only come to realize like much later, after being a huge fan. But it was like his voice, the structure of the songs, like the instrumentation, like it's just off center, you know.
I was talking to a friend of mine about them last week, and he said, "I've come to the conclusion that the songs are better than the band," which I think might be
interesting.
Might be a true statement. But anyway,
I don't know. I think like I think the combination of Jimmy Chamberlain and Billy Corgan's playing, like guitar and drum playing, like that combo, I think is like. I think they make some incredible music.
Oh yeah.
Sometimes.
I mean,
Jimmy Chamberlain, like virtuosity,
undeniably great drummer.
Yeah. But for me, the guitars on Cherub Rock is like kind of what changed. That's like, that's one of those, what the hell is this moments for me when I first heard it on, I remember hearing.
Well, that's
it
what I was going to ask you is like, cause they're from Chicago. So did you hear them on the radio? I mean, I know you're a little bit younger.
I don't
than
think
me,
so.
But not much. Like, so you didn't hear them on the radio or hear of them before they sort of broke out?
No, okay. No. I mean, I was listening to a lot of radio, but when that song came on was the first time I'd ever heard them.
So it wasn't like, oh, this is my favorite local band.
No. It was like my first thing was like, how the hell did they get the guitars to sound like that? Like,
yeah.
That is what blew my mind.
And then, but then did you discover they're from Chicago and were you like,
yes,
this is now my favorite local band?
Yeah. Yeah. But by then they were much bigger than a Chicago band.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, I think I mean, I've heard stories about like how many overdubs they did of those guitars. It's some like ridiculous number of overdubs, like
just to get that wall
in the double, in the double digits, like to the point where you would wonder like why, you know, after a certain number, like after six overdubs of the same thing, like
yeah,
how much difference does it make?
Who produced? I think Butch Vig produced that.
Butch Vig produced it,
and
yeah,
he probably
that was after Never or In Utero or Never Mind.
After Never Mind, yeah, right after probably.
Yeah. Yeah,
but he probably was like, "Hey guys, we could just, you know, throw a Metal Zone pedal on this thing and sound exactly the same. You know, run it through a crate, run it through like a 5-inch speaker, because it kind of sounds. I mean, it's so thin, but it's thin because there's so many of them." So it does create this huge wall, but it's the way it's mixed. It actually sounds thin, which is interesting because it should be the exact opposite. At least that's how I hear it.
Yeah, no, I think I get what you're saying.
It's just unique.
If people don't know what we're talking about, go listen to Cherub Rock because it's a really unique guitar sound where like it's. You can't hear the strings almost. It's almost just this like, it's almost like a synthesizer.
Like static. It's like melodic static.
Yeah.
It's more than that. That's, that's maybe not the best way to put it, but it is it's unique.
It's fuzzy. I mean, it's very fuzzy.
It is unique. And if you hear it, you know it's them. So I guess, you know, mission accomplished.
Yeah. Well, his voice, if you don't recognize the guitars, that's the thing, his voice is so.
You can't miss different. That.
No,
you definitely can't miss Billy Corgan. Okay, well, what else? We got to talk about some other stuff. Oh yeah, so you were looking. Let me set you up. Let me set you up again. You were looking at the beginning of the show because we're so prepared. We're so professional here. We were sort of scrambling
on top
to be like, yeah, like what are we gonna play? And you know, searching through the new stuff. And you and I have both had a similar experience in the last. I would say more so in the last few weeks, having a hard time sifting through a lot of AI music, if you want to call it that.
Yeah,
AI uploads.
We presume that these are generated tracks.
Yeah, well, you can tell. I mean, I feel like it's not quite there yet. Like you can tell by there's a very unique. Much like Billy Corgan, there's a very unique warble in the voice that you can hear.
Yeah.
Where it's always kind of like the way it's blended in with the music. It sounds like an MP3 file that's been, you know, replicated 500 times, and it kind of has a
There's kind of like transient artifacts you can kind of hear.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's like it's haunted. It's haunted by all of our the last 30 years of content on the internet haunts these tracks, but
yeah, not everyone can hear it though. I've had people say like, "Hey, I really like this new track that I found on Wavelength."
Sure.
I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's an AI.
I mean, this
track.
Is going to be
and they'll be like, "What's AI music?" I've heard that too.
Yeah. And this is going to be a hot topic because of course there are people that like the stuff. I mean, a lot of it is like satirical, you know, so there'd be some, you know, lyrics that are intending on sort of, I don't know, maybe it's like a in the same vein of some popular song but with lyrics about, you know, the Fed or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So like some of these are a bit of a stretch.
Jerome Powell.
Yeah. Some of these are a bit of a stretch, but you know, some people think they're funny. I mean, no offense to the AI. The AI agents, but you know, it's not exactly my cup of tea. So it's an interesting thing because it's like this is a, you know, like sort of a free and open library. So you're going to get a lot of stuff like this. A lot of people are excited about being able to have a platform to create these types of things and get visibility, but it at times can feel a bit spammy. This is one of those times where it's like the top of the charts or sort of being hogged by some AI stuff. And there's some really good music that's kind of down in the down a little bit down lower that maybe isn't getting the same exposure that it should.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say when we started this company, AI generated music was not on anyone's radar.
No,
that wasn't on my bingo card.
It was like
for 2024,
barely on the radar. I think like the very super early days caught wind of like, wasn't there like a
There was some Beatles, like
there was something like a Drake thing maybe, or oh no, it was The Weeknd right. maybe. I don't. There was something like hip hop things,
but full songs made just from AI.
Yeah, exactly. Really people there, being yeah. able to make a song about, you know, a bit axe. Maybe that wasn't a thing. That wasn't a thing a couple years ago.
So I think it's safe to say like we never intended for like AI generated songs to like outrank or get better visibility than like music that people were making. I think that's like a safe statement to make. And so now we're in this situation where AI generated music exists. It's out there. A lot of people can't really tell the difference, don't necessarily have a preference, and I'm not saying they should. But now we have to figure out, I don't know, do we treat it differently?
Well, this
should we, you know, like, cause it seems
puts the chart stuff sort of back in our face. Cause that's come up
yeah.
for various reasons. Like the idea of being able to, the concept self of being able to self promote something is, this is nothing new. This has been happening on the chart since day one, and we've gotten shit for it. And we're just like, yeah, I mean, we know people have the ability to do this. You know, you can do it on Fountain too. You can do it really anywhere where
you can do it anywhere.
You can do it anywhere in this with this. So, you know, it's sort of like the Zapvertising model, like, but just very straightforward, but we just haven't come up with a better way. I mean, we were just talking about this again yesterday. It's like, what do you do? Is it based on Zaps and plays? Is it based on, I think in the very early days we had, didn't we used to have the chart generated too by like, interactions or something? There was some other metric in the very beginning, but it was weird. It like wasn't refreshing enough. Like the chart just stayed pretty stagnant. I think we did.
Well, that was when when we started, we would rank tracks based on their earnings over 30 days.
Yeah, but wasn't there another for sure? But wasn't there another metric as well? Because we used to.
I don't think so.
We used to show how many zaps there were, like a number.
Yeah, we would show number of plays as well as number of zaps. It was like engagement. We called it engagement or something really big.
Yeah, didn't that factor into the early chart or no?
No, but it was like another cause for controversy in our small world, where people are saying like, well, why is this track number one if its engagement is like
two? yeah
which means like basically someone zapped themselves.
Oh yeah, and we ended up getting rid of that, and I think people thought we got rid of that because we were trying to hide the
we were trying to hide something,
which is
yeah, but it wasn't really
like the self-zapping. It doesn't, you know. Sure, I mean, yeah. I guess you could argue it benefits us because we get the 10% or whatever, but like, no, though, because yeah, we want good music to be highlighted. We're not really necessarily fans of people that do that. We want people to discover music. Although, you know, like, I don't know. I'm sort of torn with the idea, but our defense used to be, well, just at some point in time, it'll get too expensive. And that's one of the reasons we started the promotion top up thing. Cause we're like, oh, this would be, if people want to just have exposure, they can just, and they're going to pay for that by like self boosting. They should just do this here. And then at least they're doing, if you're like want to pump your bags, at least you can, someone else can get a benefit for it. And someone can earn some of those sats back.
Yeah.
But
I wonder if it's worked for people. I mean, like, it obviously gets you in front of people.
Of course.
But going back to what we were talking about earlier in terms of, like, being an artist and building an audience, it does seem like it's not a long game to take that kind of approach. If you're trying to build an audience for the long term, it's sort of just like a short term gain to just like get something in front of faces a couple times. And I mean,
I'm sure
sort of like the same magic trick over and over again. Maybe it wears off after a while.
Yeah. It's just, who knows what to do? We're still figuring stuff out. I mean, there's the,
yeah, I don't have an answer.
The fountain chart I know is different. I think it's based on, it is based on zaps and like maybe total number of zaps, but even that, it's like you can gamify. This is what we're talking about. You can gamify that too. If it's based on listens, then you can just listen to it, you know, just leave it on repeat because we have a repeat button now. You're welcome, man. Like Wex. And then if it's based on zaps, you could just do single, like one set zaps, like a bunch of times. So it's
like number of zaps. Yeah. I mean, this is why I'm so hesitant to change it. To change the model is because, like, in the longer term, this should be a problem that fixes itself. We could be totally wrong, but like in the longer term, the sat count to me seems to be the most, I guess, the purest representation of like how much people enjoy and value these tracks.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, it's just like the volume's so small that it's pretty easy to gamify. That said, we do have plans. I mean, we've already built this into the latest version of the mobile app that's out there. We'll probably be playing down the top 40 a little bit more as we like keep building things out.
Yeah, the top 40 was always intended. I mean, it started out just as like it was our first showcase. It was kind of like our first little gimmicky thing, like, hey, here's just something to interact with until we figure out what this is going to be. But now we have other things, you know, and yeah, like what we've put into the mobile app now, we have sort of like those featured things because there is a lot of really good music that we want, that we just want to highlight in our app. And if you don't like that, then you can go build your own app and highlight whatever music you want to. But we're highlighting music that we like in that section. And then we built out the For You section, which just will show, you know, that just is like, if you zap something, it's going to show up there. That's how we have that working. So it just keeps that stuff fresh. I really like that because I'll often have friends that are like, hey, what have you been listening to? And I can go back and reference my recently listened to things. And so that's sort of a similar section there where it's, you just go back and reference things that you've zapped, because you can already go to your artists and your songs. We already have it set up that way where it shows that in the top of your artists, in the library section. So I like that section. And then, yeah, the chart's just kind of like, oh, then we have the new stuff, you know, and then the chart's kind of below that. So it's not that I don't think we'll phase it out. If anything, we'll probably expand it. I would guess down the road, we'll probably have different types of charts as things build up, you know, but, I guess maybe that's why we don't worry about it too much, is because it's just becoming sort of less important, you know? And if somebody does want to self-promote, we have a place for that now, or will soon, shortly. Once it's kind of out of this beta, we'll have a place for people that's sort of appropriate for that type of behavior. That's what you want to call it.
Yeah. I think like the top 40, like, I don't think we need to ever get rid of it. But I do think we're in a stage right now where it's not like the best representation of what people necessarily like are enjoying or are into. It's sort of become a way for like, you know, people to like get themselves in front of an audience, and if they have to like boost their own track to get there, then, you know, so be it. Which again, that's just how it is. But because like it ends up becoming sort of dominant, I think the top 40 is just at a stage right now where like maybe it doesn't make a lot of sense to highlight it and put it front and center, that maybe it's like time to feature things and curate things a little bit more thoughtfully. That said, there could be a day like down the road where like the top 40 is really like kicking, you know?
Yeah. And, yeah. There just needs, it just,
and it's harder to game. Exactly. And so therefore it becomes like a much more like helpful way to find music that people are into.
I think we're just in a bit of a lull, you know, like think, like I said, things are kind of slow. There's not as much, like everyone worked really hard and released a bunch of stuff this summer, us and Fountain and a bunch of other podcast apps. And there was lots of action, lots of things happening. So now I think everything's just kind of slowed down a bit. So the barrier of entry into the top 10, you know, of the top 40 is really not that difficult, as yeah. you can see by the what's happening there right now. But yeah, it'll fix itself. You know, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe some people don't like when we say that, but it is true. You know, it is true. And what else do we do? I mean, if you have a better idea,
yeah,
let us know, or like we said, go build it and we'll give you half of our sats.
Right.
We have the developer splits, and you know, or just go do it without us. Whatever. Do whatever yeah. you want. We don't care.
I mean, I think that's the rub, is like we could quote unquote try and fix it, but every single, you know, way we could try and change or modify the way that chart is counted would have some trade-off, would just have some compromise.
There's no fixing or some anything.
Yeah, there'd be some subjective choice we'd have to make that like would probably still be gameable, but would also be like it wouldn't necessarily be objective, you know, at least
with that being said, I wouldn't be like super opposed to trying to add another element, and just even if it was just for like a few weeks, just to see how it looks, you know,
yeah.
just to see if it, how it tracks and how people interact with it.
Yeah.
If it's like there was a second metric added to it, I don't know. It might be worth something, might be worth trying down the road when we're not.
Yeah. The thing is we could always like make a different version of it too. Like I like the idea of just keeping the top 40 what it is. And then it's like how Billboard has like all these, that was always like part, one of my dreams for this is that like, you know, someday we'd have this catalog of different charts.
Yeah. Well, things, yeah. Maybe the top 40 becomes the top 40, but then we have like a Heat Seekers chart or something that's based
exactly.
more on interaction or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like a really simple one, the top 40 is counted over the past 7 days. So like a really simple thing to experiment with is like, well, what if we just made it one day?
Yeah. What's hot today? Like the 24 hour trending.
Exactly.
I like
and it. The count of tracks might be lower, but you could make it like a top 10 Heat Seekers.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That could be interesting.
All right. Well,
all right.
Let's wrap it up.
It's too bad we didn't have anything to talk about.
I know. It's so funny.
50 minutes
it's
later.
It's so funny how ridiculous we are as people that we can just talk for 54 minutes without any plan. I like it. I like it. We didn't have much mail, but we did have a comment that basically said, I like the more freeform version of the show. It's slightly more humorous or something like that. Something like that. Oh, and Heather, I think, yeah, I'll bypass the mailbag, but I think Heather did leave a comment too that she actually did want to hear the unboxing of my
Stratocaster.
So sorry, Heather.
Yeah.
You just have to use your imagination for that one.
Yeah. Okay. So let's close out with this track.
Let's hear your best Q101 lead in or
hey.
and we'll see you in a couple weeks. So yeah, this is it. We're leaving. Bye. But take us out.
You're listening to KWAV, home of the boosted zapped audio. Coming up next, got Saltbreaker. Because I love.
Pew, pew, pew.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Waveform, brought to you by WaveLake. WaveLake is a platform for artists to share their music beyond paywalls, and where fans can pay whatever they want using Bitcoin. Artists retain all the rights to their work and receive payments instantly via the Lightning Network. Find out more at wavelake.com. Waveform is produced by Sam Means and Michael Ree. Theme by Paul Birkin. I'm D++. Thanks for listening.